This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is the Daily Digest on the Bigger Picture. I'm Sharmila Ganesan, together with Tina Camilia and Kelly Anisa. Here's what we have for you today. First up, why are so many people upset about Green Book winning the Academy Award for Best Picture? We talk about diversity and representation at this year's Oscars.
And the most stressful job goes to, we'll find out in the second half of the hour. But first, let us know what your thoughts are.
We're asking you on Twitter, what is the most stressful job in the world? Doctor, teacher, journalist, or parent? So to join in the conversation, tweet us at BFM Radio or WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or call us at 03-7733-2900.
But before we get to our first story, here's Tired by Sugar Candy Mountain.
The Bigger Picture on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back. This is the Daily Digest with me, Sharmila Ganesan. In the studio with me are Tina Camilia and Kelly Anisa. Before we get to our first story, a quick check on our Twitter poll.
So we ask you, what is the most stressful job in the world? And 39% of you said that it's being a parent that's most stressful. equally, 27% said doctor or teacher, and 6% said journalist. You can join the conversation on Twitter at BFM Radio. You can also WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or call us at 773-2900.
So for our first story today, we are going to be talking about the Oscars, which were yesterday. And unlike many of the years before, it seemed to be doing rather well in terms of representing a more diverse and inclusive view of cinema. That is until Green Book was awarded the Best Picture Award. The choice had many critics, media outlets, and even many black filmmakers reacting very strongly about honouring a movie that has a very regressive way of looking at race relations. For instance, filmmaker Spike Lee, whose movie Black Klansman was also nominated, actually tried to walk out when Green Book was announced as the winner. And other African-American directors like Jordan Peele were seen just not clapping when the award was announced.
Mm-hmm. You know, so why all the unhappiness? Well, the movie Green Book, which stars Viggo Mortensen and Mahershala Ali, is set in 1962 America. It's inspired by the true story of African-American jazz pianist Don Shirley and his Italian-American writer and bodyguard Tony Vallelonga. The movie depicts how their initially difficult relationship evolves and overcomes their differences. And so to many people, this is problematic for several reasons. So firstly, because it promotes a simplistic view of race relations. And two, because it seems to be repeating that cliched trope of telling a person of colour's story through a white character's eyes.
Yeah, and you know, for these reasons, it seems like it's a big throwback almost for the Oscars to award a film like this, especially when there were other movies like Black Klansman, Roma, or even Black Panther that were also nominated and did a much more nuanced job of representing people of colour on film.
Yeah, Green Book has actually been running into several issues even before it won the Oscar. The family of Don Shirley have publicly disputed the relationship portrayed in the movie, claiming that very little of it was true. And meanwhile, the movie's screenwriter Nick Vallelonga was called out for posting anti-Muslim tweets a few years ago. Let's not forget that Mahershala Ali, who plays Don Shirley, is himself an Ahmadi Muslim. And then Viggo Mortensen said the N-word on stage at a public event while describing race relations in the movie. I mean, he has since apologized for it, though, but I think damage is done. It's all over the internet. And many people thought these roadblocks would eventually prevent the movie from winning the Oscar, but obviously not.
Yeah, it really did seem like these would be reasons, especially in a year when you're trying to seem inclusive.
Yeah, after the Oscar so white saga last year.
So one might ask, what exactly is the problem here? Because here's a movie that supposedly aims to portray two people of different ethnicities building a relationship. So shouldn't that actually be a good thing? The problem here is how, according to many reviewers, the movie seems to rehash many of these tropes in Hollywood that actually undermine the real issues and complexities when it comes to race.
One of Green Book's main issues is that the white character becomes the central focus of the story and the African-American character becomes a secondary character in his own story. This is almost the storyline for most
stories. Most movies that are about these kinds of things, yeah.
Yeah, and he is, in fact, an instrument to the white character's own enlightenment and self-realization. And think about something like Forrest Gump, where his black friend Bubba is essentially the plot to move Forrest's story along, or The Help, where the story of the struggles of black housekeepers in 1950s America ends up being more about the white characters than the housekeepers themselves.
Mm. Yeah. And Green Book plays into the white savior trope, where a white character rescues a person of color from their troubles, and in the process, the white person becomes a better person. So we've seen this in movies like Dangerous Minds, The Blind Side, The Last Samurai, Freedom Writers, and many more.
So Green Book also takes, you know, on top of all of these things, it also takes a rather simplistic view of race relations, which can be quite a comforting trope for like a mainstream white audience. And they really do seem to respond to this. You know, essentially, all the problems will be resolved if we all just learn to get along, you know. And this was seen most obviously in a previous Oscar winner, Crash. You know, and in movies like this, larger systemic problems that cause issues of division and inequalities are often ignored and simplified into that idea that people just need to be nicer to each other and all of these issues will be resolved.
I wish. Right. So to get a better idea of the situation, we spoke earlier to Bahir Yusuf, BFM's resident film reviewer and a filmmaker himself. We asked him why he thinks there is so much criticism about the fact that Green Book was awarded the Oscar for Best Picture.
Let me preface this by saying that the movie never came here to Malaysia, so I haven't seen it. Most of my friends and other reviewers haven't seen it. But from what I've seen online, a lot of the comments have generally been about the cliched takes on its racial views. It's a very upbeat message about an interracial relationship, friendship rather, in the 60s between two men, Dr. Shirley and his driver, Tony Lip. And a lot of it is just potentially inaccuracies in the stories. Dr. Shirley's family had come out and said that a lot of the situations that the movie made Dr. Shirley out to be was kind of inaccurate, in the sense that he was made out to be someone who was estranged from his family, which they say he wasn't. They made him out to be someone who was potentially also estranged from black culture and from the civil rights movement, which was happening at the time. Dr. Shirley's family said that he was very much active in the civil rights movement. He was in fact probably even friends with Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. So that really made it seem like a very simple, to the family, it really felt like a doubling down on the troubled black man story. He was estranged from his family. They made him to be estranged from black culture and the civil rights movement, which essentially wasn't true. His children had come out. His brothers had come out and said that Dr. Shirley was very close to them, would talk to them regularly. So that was unfortunate, I think. And I think one of the other reasons a lot of people are sort of criticizing it is the fact that, like, for example, The Hollywood Reporter calls it essentially a road movie about opposites attracting and learning from each other, which is essentially Driving Miss Daisy 29 years ago. So it was nothing new for it to win Best Picture when there were a lot of other stronger contenders in that category as well.
So this isn't the first time the Oscars have been called out for rewarding movies that were criticized as being either tokenistic or even exploitative when it comes to race representation. You know, movies like Crash and Driving Miss Daisy obviously come to mind. What is it that you think the Academy doesn't seem to get when it comes to the idea of fair representation on film?
I think it's a difficult question because in this particular instance, fair representation means a fair portrayal of what essentially is a minority group, be it African-Americans, be it Latinos, be it, you know, non-English American-speaking movies. And that's a hard thing to say because I think at last count, the majority of the Academy members were still essentially old white men. So I don't think it's a conscious decision. I don't think they're trying to be non-representative, but at the same time, this is a film. I mean, we're talking about movies. It's an art form. It depends on what you as the viewer react to. So if you don't respond to Black Klansman, if you don't respond to Roma, which is a black and white film, not in English, if you don't respond to, you know, Black Panther, which is not the Academy Award members' target demographic, right? So when you have white members of the Academy, or even just older members of the Academy at 50, 55, 60 years old, it may not be a movie for them. They will not react to it. So giving something, so for something like the Green Book to win, it could be that they feel like they're doing the minority group a favor by letting this film, which is about a really troubled time in American history in the 60s and the Deep South, Jim Crow era, that they would be doing them a favor by giving a movie like the Green Book a win. But again, when your sample size of your Academy members are not from the minority, you know, they will vote for something else. They will vote for something where, well, yeah, I guess in some ways they're admitting there was a problem, but they're admitting that it could have been done better, it could have been easier. Black Klansman is very much in your face with regards to racial issues, whereas the Green Book seems like a friendlier version of what a racial issue movie could be.
So can a movie be problematic in terms of its politics or representation, but still be a good movie?
For me, that's a hard question to answer only because I'm neither a part of the minority or the majority of that culture. I'm Asian. I'm not in the US. I'm a majority in this country being a Malay. So, of course, everything I say can be considered, like, of course, that's what a majority person would say. So for me, I think a story like The Green Book, as problematic as it is with its accuracies to history, etc., can provide a point of conversation. It can be a flashpoint to educate. It can be a flashpoint to bring up these facts and these points that may get ignored. The movie The Green Book is based on a true story, but its inaccuracies with its retelling of the characters involved in that true story makes it a problem. However, it's a problem for the families of those involved. I think for people in Asia watching it as just a film, it's an interesting thing to know about these little bits of history that we around the world may not know. So to answer the question, I think it can be a good film. I think a film with issues of representation and problems about racial treatment of the minorities can still be a good film. I mean, Driving Miss Daisy is still seen as a classic in some areas. I mean, it's still a very good movie. It's still a very entertaining film, but of course, it's not the best representation of what a relationship between a black employee with a white employer. So I think it really comes down to the viewer. And I think if they look at it as just the beginnings of a conversation, I think that's one way to look at it, just as issues about movies made by Kevin Spacey and issues with movies made by Woody Allen. Can you really remove the artist from the piece of art? I think you can to a point, and I think you should to a point. If anything, just to start the conversations about what these pieces of product or these pieces of art sort of then bring up in its audience members.
That was Bahir Yusof, who is a filmmaker and BFM's resident film reviewer. So it seems to me that a big part of the problem is that Green Book is woefully out of touch, and it uses it's using tropes and cliches that might have worked in movies decades ago, but feel really old-fashioned now.
Yeah,
and it's a pity that in this year, that otherwise made a lot of advances when it comes to diversity, you know, Rami Malek, who won Best Actor, is the first American of Arab descent to win the award. Regina King and Mahershala Ali, both African-Americans, won Best Supporting Actress and Actor. Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse won Best Animation, and that's a movie about the first biracial Spider-Man, and, you know, did loads in terms of introducing a person of color superhero, especially in animation. And despite all of this, that the biggest award of that night, Best Movie, seemed to just set all of these efforts back.
Yeah. We do have a WhatsApp message here from Tan Kilun, and who says that, actually, I don't find it a problem. African Americans are less than 20% of the population in America. So what's wrong with having a Caucasian become the main character? I think people are too sensitive with racial equality that in the end, it is itself racist.
I think the issue here is, of course, that historically in Hollywood cinema, the stories have always been, you know, overwhelmingly have been from a white person's perspective. And not that that's a problem, but then even when you're telling the story of a person of a person of color, they don't get to have their own story.
Yeah.
Right? And that's when it becomes an issue because, you know, it's as if you need a white person to be able to tell the story of a person of color,
right,
instead of allowing them to have their own voice. So at what point, whether they're 20%, 30% or whatever, at what point do they get to say, tell their own stories? Being, you know, your minority status is not a reason for your stories to get co-opted by people outside of your culture.
True. Whether you're 20% or 2%, I think if you are, you know, presented in a film, I think it is fair to request, it is fair to expect that you are represented fairly.
And I think that the thing with film is that at the end of the day, right, the product often does speak for itself. When I watch a movie and I find, for instance, that the woman is just there as a love interest and is not given an inner world, or when a character of color is just there to have two lines and then to get killed off, you know, I often find myself thinking, why wasn't this character written better? It doesn't mean they have to be the main character, but from a writing perspective, from a filmmaking perspective, that's not a good job because every character has a reason for being there, right? And if they don't bother to give them more than just that, it's a failure of the filmmaking process itself. It's not just an issue of being, quote unquote, politically correct.
Yeah. True. Correct.
I mean, we don't have a lot of time, but very quickly, are there movies that you guys kind of used to like or, you know, used to look up to, but now with a bit more awareness, you feel, you know, you feel differently about? For me, you know, Forrest Gump was one of those movies, to be honest.
To Kill a Mockingbird, perhaps. I used to think that it when it was presented, it really seemed to be one of those, look at this white person helping this poor black man. And then I realized how problematic that framing is, right? Yeah, that's definitely one of it. It's still bothering me to this day. It's hard for me to properly explain why I have this love-hate thing with it.
Yeah.
It shaped my, you know, young adult
life. It shaped many people's way of looking at equality and justice. And yet, from today's lens, there are things about it that seem like we need to, like what Asbahir said, to have a conversation about.
Yeah.
Anything?
No movie comes to mind right now, but I do know that whenever I watch, say, films, I know it's not a film, it's a series like Friends, for example, I realized that, you know, when I was younger, oh yes, this was really funny. And it never occurred to me that a lot of the jokes a lot of the jokes or the conversations that took place there were a little bit like sexist. And some of them maybe, you know, so I guess that it has a lot to do with us being more aware and, you know, being more exposed to, like you said, like all the other films that you've listed, we are more educated now on these issues. So, I can't think of a film right now.
But it's also a question of time, I think, because something that worked in the 90s, something that worked in the 70s, you know, shouldn't be the same way we do it now.
Yeah.
And maybe that's the problem with something like Green Book, that it doesn't seem to have evolved beyond those tropes, right?
Yeah. If it was made in the 90s and it won the Oscars, I'll be fine with it, I suppose, in the 90s. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
But not 2019.
Yes, we've moved beyond that now. Even Friends seems old-fashioned.
Oh, yes.
Well, coming up after the break, we will be talking about which profession, you know, causes more stress than most others. But first, here is Nina Simone with I Wish I Knew How It Would Feel to Be Free. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.